Here we go. And.
When I was a little boy, I remember an aunt and uncle giving me a recording of this for Christmas. It was kind of the first opera I'd ever heard. And I was enthralled with it as a kid, you know, and enthralled with kind of the sexiness of it all, and the size of it, and the beauty of the music. The music is just infallibly beautiful. If the Carmen is nervous about nooks and crannies in the part, it can seriously derail.
The most exciting thing about Carmen for me is Marina Domyshenko. We're used to having very good-looking, sexy women in Carmen, but this particular woman does it differently. This is a classy Carmen, an elegant Carmen, a model-like Carmen, and that's what sets her apart from all of the other girls. The men would not have any interest in her if she were just like the others. Marina makes her stand apart both physically and vocally and dramatically, in fact. And that gives something very special to this production, a different kind of core that I think the audience will feel. They will really notice that there's something different going on.
Happy that I can play something on the stage, but not on real life, because it can be disaster for anything. And I'm very happy that sometimes on the stage you can do, you know, things which you cannot to do in real life. And it's you know, it's really, it's pleasure, and it's nice to do for actor. It's very good for actor. I do very like Habanera. This is an entrance, this is an exposition of character, of role of Carmen. And this is her credo.
Thank you.
I love her duet with Don Jose, because there is a lot of emotion, a lot of passion, and a lot of different, very different things. Love and revenge and hate and all this in one, you know, in one short, pretty short scene. Yeah.
I believe Don Jose, first than anything, he's a good guy, you know. He's just, you know, he has a bad temper. Before he become a soldier, he killed someone back home for nothing. It was just a card game, you know, and he killed a person, you know. And the problem with the girls, he has one girl back home. She's a very nice girl, you know, she's a peasant. He likes her, but not with this passion that he likes and that he loves Carmen, you know. Actually, it's not really love. It's more passion than anything, you know. And possessive. He's very possessive, you know. Because of Carmen, he has all these problems with the bandits also, you know, in the third act, for example, in the mountains. Because of his temper, he has problems also with his officer, Zúñiga, and many other people in the army. I believe that if Carmen wasn't there, something was going to happen to him bad anyway, because of that strong temper, bad temper, you know.
Micaela has been known to steal the show. And even if the Carmen is fantastic, Micaela is the one that the audience seems to love because of the fact that she's such a kind, pure character. And she could be considered like the light, the one sole hope of the opera.
Good, gentlemen. Good.
I have two favorite moments that I consider. The first one is mostly as a matter of pressure, as no pressure whatsoever. and it's the opening scene. And also, it's fun as all get out, because I get to be the only female on stage with all the men, which is by far the best thing in the world. I also like it because it's carefree, it's fun, and it's flirtatious. And in this particular interpretation of Micaela, she kind of flirts back, which is not normally done by most Micaelas. Are done as, oh my gosh, you know, she's horrified that these men would come on to her in any way whatsoever. And this Micaela is more street smart, and she's like, oh really? You wanted me to go with you? I don't think so.
The feeling we'd want to give it at the beginning is that you're at a comic opera. You know, it's light, it's sweet, it's funny, people are behaving nicely, there's this sweet girl, etc., nice soldiers, you're at Fille du Regiment or something. Not a big tragedy yet, of any kind. That develops down the road. All right, so you can have fun with this. I'd rather say to you, hey, pull back a little bit later, so give me a little more now if you can. Good.
My second favorite, of course, is the aria, because it's the culmination of everything that's happened, and musically, it's really fun to sing it, especially in this setting, particularly because the conductor has really drawn out the best qualities of me, which I've had to work harder at it, but it's made me a better artist because of it, I think.
He's basically a rock star. He has this great job where thousands of adoring fans yell his name all day long, and women throw him favors, shall we say. It's a great part to play. My wife always makes fun of me when I play this part. it's just a dream part. It's fun. You got the song that everybody knows. And you get to, there's a nice little stage fight, and then at the end you get to kiss the girl, so what could be better? Had a lot of fun fine-tuning the Escamilla's aria, which is often, it's got a lot of traditions, and we're trying to do things in a fun way, still having some of the traditions, but also making it less of a crazy showpiece and having it be a more of an aria. I think it's really quite nice.
Thank you.
it's a big show, and everybody knows Carmen, or thinks they know it, and every time it's announced we're going to do Carmen, everybody rejoices, myself among them. And then we look at the score again and realize there's chorus, and a big chorus, and lots of choral singing. Supers, dancers, all the principals, and there's, you know, principal principles, and there's compromario principles. And it's a long show. It's just you turn the page, and it keeps coming. And I know from Todd's standpoint, the sheer probably volume of, and I don't mean dynamic, but I mean how much you have of choral work to prepare.
Yeah, in the chorus music rehearsals, you, with anything that's complex or multiple, you take it one step at a time. And it's very easy on a big show to bombard them and make it overwhelming. And if you just simply state it one thing at a time, teach them one thing at a time. And the dramatic quality is very helpful for the chorus in this piece because it's so diverse. In the beginning, they're soldiers, they're cigarette women. The character is very much different than these rough people of the third act and vigorous townspeople of the fourth act. And that helps to split up the complexity as well and to make smaller units of this big piece. All the choristers are individual characters. They're not just a group of people who stand and sing pretty. They are as equally responsible to be real flesh and blood characters as any of the principals. And it's a joy working with a conductor like Karen who encourages them to do that and frees them up to, yes, you have to have the right notes and rhythms and dynamics and everything, of course. But beyond that, there's so much more beyond just what's on the page.
And they respond to that.
These
women are doing in the fight chorus, I even brag to the orchestra today, is unbelievable. And I'm not sure there's many choruses who could do this to the extent they're doing what they're doing and singing while rolling around on the floor and fighting and, carrying each other's, at least apparently, not really, hair out. What the repetiteur really is the 10-fingered orchestra. In a play, you can do it, as they say, dry, which is without music, because the rhythm of the play unfolds among itself. But within an opera, you have to stay within the strictures of the music, even with what they call a recitative, which is spoken dialogue set to notes. Even then, you have to stay within a certain structure. So you need someone who will keep that and will do it the way the conductor wants it to be done. We try and make as close a sound to the orchestra as we can. It's sort of hard to sustain a string sound or crescendo like a clarinet would do or a flute would do, because after all, it's a percussion instrument. But we do our best to get as many of the notes in there. It's reduced into a vocal score, which puts as many of the notes as possible in what can be played by 2 hands and 10 fingers. Can get the same phrasing. We get not the same dynamics. We're one percussion instrument as opposed to 56 players, but to get the same general idea of the phrasing and what's long and what's legato and what sounds like a pizzicato string. So that the singers, when they're rehearsing, still have in their ear what they're going to hear once the orchestra comes in.
I had fallen madly in love with this film that had just come out on DVD then, called Y Tu Mama También, about two boys who travel with this actress through Mexico. And I loved all of the gritty locales of that. And I said, why don't we just make it look as much like that as we can? Chain link fences and these cheesy bars, and let's not glamorize it at all and see what we can get. And so that's where we began. And then we used research from picture books of Havana, and almost everything you see here comes from either Mexico or Cuba.
This Carmen is designed to be in the 1930s, somewhere in the 1930s, in an undisclosed Latin country. So we still have a Spanish influence that's happening with the clothes, but it's not Spain anymore. It's more Latin America, and that shift. Obviously, they're peasant girls, cigarette girls, who are working in a factory. So they have the look of women, you know, prior to World War II, women who were factory workers. So their hair's tied in turbans and headbands, and they've got short skirts on, and, well, shorter skirts, little espadrilles. One of the things about the show that you'll see that makes it Latin America is the presence of serapes, and some things that are, especially to a Southern California eye, things that make it look, you know, bring it into that sort of Mexican realm. So we're using this. Also, the soldiers are not in typical military uniforms. They're in a shirt, which is red with shoulder boards. So it has the shoulder boards, it's a military uniform shirt with a pair of black pants. I like to call it junta wear, because it's not, you know, it's not a tailored wool uniform, which is typically what you see in a show like Carmen. I think it's relatable because it's in this century. It's early, and it's in the time of the Depression, and I think a lot of people will be able to relate to that kind of time frame. And the clothes are great, and they're pretty theatrical. It's a lot of fun. Our vendors have oranges stacked on their heads if they're an orange seller. It's really a good show.
One of the things I talked to the cast about was the fact that everybody in the opera is just dirt poor. There's no one who's making a penny, and the only one who is Escamillo, who's kind of a rock star status as this torero. So the poor sort of dirt poor crowd in the slums of this city was what became kind of interesting to us.
You know, in the world of opera, there are three operas that we think of as always being popular, and we call them the ABCs, Aida, Bohème, and Carmen. They always sell very well, audiences love them, but Carmen has a special magic. And I think that's because melodies such as the Toreador song, the Seguidilla, the Habanera, these are so well known that they appear in cartoons, commercials, as background music in movies, and people grow up hearing the music as they do the music of the Barber of Seville, for example, Figaro here, Figaro là, but they never know that it really comes from an opera. But they do enjoy the music, and I think that's probably a good thing, but it's far better to come to the theatre, hear the music in the correct context, and be carried away by a great cast, which this production has to offer.
Yeah. it is a little, and what it is repeated notes. That way. And yet they can, and they can use just, yes, exactly, you can just grab them like that, and you get just a really short, sharp clack, so they don't spin free. And then sometimes they'll do this, they can put them behind their backs, they can do this, but often it's just doing that. You're getting it. This way, because they bounce, you'll get a little better. And sometimes you can do it because they put their hands in all sorts of shapes. Oh, here, there.
Toe can't control. I'm no good.